Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you very much for your attention, and now we invite you to sit back, relax.
817 to KFAR, True Travel Tales, our travel guru, Jay Ratliff, on the line. And leading off today with Jay, he's back. Could it be the reappearance of Jetpack Man?
Yeah, you know, you don't know what... Look, there's never a boring day in my life, I don't think, because anytime we're dealing with the wild and wacky world of aviation, things can happen, and yes, we had... Well, you and I talked last month, I think it was right around the first week in September, that three aircraft that were on final approach into LAX at 3,000 feet passed what appeared to be some guy in a jetpack. They had no clue who it was. They weren't able to find out if it was some guy in a jetpack or not. And now this week, round two, China Airlines flight on its final approach coming into LAX, they were at about 6,000 feet when they, too, passed something that they reported to the air traffic controller that appeared to be a guy in a jetpack. So we don't know exactly who it is, what it is, and what they're doing there. But obviously the concern continues to rise as, look, the last thing you want to do when you're dealing with an aircraft that's in one of its most critical stages of flight, takeoff or landing, have something interfere with that as far as birds, drones, or, yeah, a guy in a jetpack. So I really am skeptical if it is a person in a jetpack, because they are out there. You can buy them for like $300,000. Jetpackaviation.com is one of my favorite websites because I keep telling my wife I want one of those.
Yeah.
But you know, they can only fly for like 10 minutes. And the idea that somebody could be launched from the ground up, get to more than a mile up, fly around long enough to pass a China Airlines flight, and then land safely is a stretch. And that's what makes me think it probably is not a jetpack. Now, when we were dealing with 3,000 feet altitude last month, I had some suspicions as well, just given the operational performance of the jetpacks that we know. And so we're going to have to wait and see exactly what's taking place here, because it could be a drone with some mannequin attached that, as airplanes are flying at the speed they are on landing, that they pass it in a blur, and it appears to be somebody in a jetpack. We don't know, but the FBI and the Federal Aviation Administration is in the process of investigating so they can try to find out exactly what's going on.
And, of course, this time of year, they're also going to have to keep their eye out for witches on broomsticks.
You know, it's just like, and it's always fun to listen to the air traffic controller and the crew from the plane as they go back and forth. And, you know, last month when the crew reported the jetpack to the air traffic control, you hear this silence on the other end. And it's like everybody in the tower in the control center just stops talking, looks at each other, and says, what did he say? Because it's just, but yeah, again, it's an aggravation. It's a concern. It's obviously from a safety standpoint. My big thing is, okay, is this something where somebody's testing something to see what our response to certain things are? One of the things from a security standpoint with aviation, you don't always take things at face value. You have to wonder and worry if it's some sort of a prelude to something else that may happen later. Not that a jetpack is necessarily the thing that I'm worried the most about from a terrorist standpoint, but you just have to ask those questions as you move forward. And hopefully we can find out sooner than later who's responsible, because I suspect whoever's doing this, whoever's getting all of this PR, not only in the country, but around the world, is going to be bragging about what they've been able to pull off. And that's all it's going to take for us to find out who they are. I'm waiting for a selfie on Facebook or something, on social media, that will lead the law enforcement officials to find out who this particular individual is.
And Jay, on Sunday, TSA screening over 1 million airline passengers, and that feels like a pretty significant thing, right?
It is, because look, we were talking back in April, second week, I believe, we had 87,000 people in a day screened. So to go from 87,000 to now 1 million as of last Sunday, yeah, it seems like it is worth having a party over. But the problem is, on that same day last year, we had 2.6 million people fly. We're still well over 60% away from where we need to be, so we're moving in the right direction, but obviously painfully slow, and airlines continue to lose billions of dollars a month as they try to adjust to this fluid environment known as the coronavirus crisis. They're still having a very difficult time getting people coming back, being comfortable to fly. Many people are saying not until there's a vaccine or some sort of testing for every single person who's flying will I get on an airplane. So it's going to be something that as we move forward, you know, airlines are going to concentrate on their more lucrative routes where they can make more money, which means you may see some additional routes being shifted to international markets and fewer flights in some of the domestic markets. It's just going to have to be kind of a wait-and-see type of thing.
And finally, Jay, there was a really weird mask story out of an Alaska Airlines flight recently.
Yeah, it was a 75-year-old woman boards a flight. She's on Alaska Airlines. She's headed towards the University of Washington Medical Center for medical treatments for her pulmonary fibrosis. She boards the aircraft with one of those N95 medical masks. Once she's seated, she puts on a ventilator mask that is more protective for her, given her health. Well, when the Alaska Airlines employee sees this woman don this mask, she tells her to take it off, to put back on the other mask. And the passenger tries to explain, look, I've got a very serious medical condition. I have to wear this. This is far more protective of me than those cloth masks because, you know, those things are good for 20, 30 minutes, whatever, according to her. She says, this one, my medical team tells me, is going to be needed if I'm going to be on a flight that's this long. Well, it went back and forth, and finally the flight attendant said, look, if you don't do what I tell you, we're going to remove you from the flight, and that's exactly what they did. They called airport security. The woman was helped off the flight. She was kind of bruised in the process, and once again, we have agents individually trying to determine what is medically acceptable and what is not. And I'm sorry, airline employees are simply not trained that way. So the idea that someone would be expected to know that this is an acceptable mask, you know, it's unfortunately what's going to happen, absent of any federal guidelines that are out there so that the Department of Transportation or the Federal Aviation Administration can basically say, hey, here's the list of accepted masks, and kind of go from there. Absent of that, airlines are forced to develop and then enforce their own mask policy. And this woman and others like her are going to really bear the brunt of that inconsistency as agents try to determine what's acceptable, what's not, the same sort of way that they were forced to do it with the emotional support animal. You remember all the fun we were talking about those? And it's the same thing. Agents had to decide, okay, is that hedgehog really an emotional support animal or not? And the FAA finally came out, or the Department of Transportation, with guidelines August of last year that helped. And, guys, we really need to see some guidelines from the FAA or the DOT now on this mask situation. Of course, by the time they draft it up and get it out, good Lord, hopefully we'll be on the other side of this mess. But there needs to be something there. If not, people such as this woman that was flying Alaska Airlines, we're going to see this situation repeated.
Jay Ratliff, True Travel Tales, and also Stock Market as well. And if folks have an airline question for you or problem, then always get a hold of you via your website.
Yeah, jratliff.com is the easiest way to get a hold of me on any stock questions, and I'd be happy to answer those. My portfolio the last 6 months up about 650%, so I have fun with that. But I have a lot more fun answering the airline questions that come out with regards to if you're having an issue with an airline or a problem, something that needs to be resolved. Send me an email through jratliff.com, and as quickly as I can, I'll get back with you, and we'll go to bat against the airlines together.
All right, perfect. Hey, Jay, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. We'll talk to you later. True Travel Tales, that's Jay Ratliff.